Do you want us to keep producing the best VCU men's basketball podcast out there? If so, there's a way you can help. If you enjoy this show, please consider donating to help us pay for the cost of making it available. You can do so by using the PayPal link in the description of the podcast or on social media sites where we post it. Even a small donation would help. Thanks in advance, and go Rams! Welcome to Rams Rewind, a podcast that looks back at all of the action from VCU men's basketball. After each game, our host George Templeton talks live on Facebook with Ram fans and gives his take on the team's performance. And now, here's George.
And just like in 2015, when VCU turned around getting belted at Davidson, VCU has turned around getting belted at UMass by beating UMass. And even more importantly, they might have wobbled and they might have rocked a little bit, but they didn't fall down. And that's due to a lot of different players making a lot of big, great plays. Welcome to Rams Rewind, live here in the Good, the Bad, the Ugly group. If you like what you hear, like our good friend Ian Baxter, who has donated to us again, Ian Baxter, thank you so much for doing that. And you want to help us out, you can shoot us some dinero. There is a link to the description in the PayPal. You've given us great support the last two seasons, last year and this one. And we thank you for it here at Rams Rewind. And we thank VCU for making it worth it, taking the day off of work today to see this game. And what a performance, because you think about that first game and how they got jumped at the start. And I got to say, the first 2 minutes weren't great. I was concerned at 5-0 down because we'd given up three or four offensive rebounds and given up a three-point play, and you thought, oh, Lord, here we go. They're on today, Massachusetts. They're going to do us up again. But some great energy from Zeb Jackson started it, but everybody else, this was – you talk about a team performance. VCU's going to win this game going away, and the only guy in double figures is Zeb Jackson. And the reason he's in double figures – is because he went to the foul line repeatedly and except for one miss, made them all. That is a tremendous performance from him, but that just tells you this is everybody getting on the floor and making a difference and making good plays. You know, we had Whistle Madness at the freaking arena today. It was ludicrous how many fouls there were called. There were 16 fouls called combined before the under 8 timeout. And what did we end up here? We ended up with 42 fouls called. Granted, some of that was UMass fouling to stop the clock at the end, but even still, that's too many fouls. But what an effort from this team. Unfortunately, we had the same issue as we've had in a lot of games. Really good first half defensive effort. Not as good in the second half. But think about some of the key plays down the stretch. Christian Furman has had a terrible game, but he comes up with two huge baskets when UMass was coming back to stem the tide. You know, Sean Bairstow, big free throws. Zeb Jackson, big free throws. Michael Bell gets a rebound off a missed free throw and gets Josh Cohen's third foul. And that was big, I thought, even though they didn't score. Yeah, listen, we all need to celebrate. I have to work tomorrow, so I don't know about a celebratory shot of anything. But we should all celebrate because that was a rough game, and we were all when they got it down to six, we were all thinking the same thing. Oh my God, it's going to happen again, and that's it, Bill Baldacci. It wasn't as good in the second half because they only had 5 assists on 10 made field goals, but 16 assists on 22 made field goals. That is VCU basketball. That is the VCU basketball that can win in March. You can win this A-10 tournament doing that. You can win in the NCAA tournament doing that. And Max Schulga, man, did he lead the parade on that. Max Schulga doesn't make a basket and is 4-for-5 from the foul line. So he didn't even go to the foul line in the second half. 7 assists, 2 turnovers. Max Schulga and the pick and roll, baby. Did he absolutely – well, and not just with – Mainly it was with Lawal, but Furman too. That pick and roll was fantastic for us with Max Yoga. And Tom Lawrence, that is a fantastic point. And this is where you give Ryan Odom credit, because here we are, everybody in our front court's in foul trouble, basically, except for Kawani. So what does Ryan Odom do? He goes to the zone, and really it was kind of a matchup zone a little bit, because you did see them going to certain players and bodying them up and then going back into the zone when the ball got out of their hands. The zone defense, I mean, that's something that Ryan Odom's found out. Hey, wait a minute. You know, this team can play zone once in a while, and I wouldn't do it all the time because, again, people can get used to it, but what a perfect change of pace for VCU to use that zone and to sort of maybe if some team's got a little bit of a run going early, kind of like UMass did, then you use that zone to break it up. And UMass didn't score in the last 24 when they had gotten it close, 0 for their last six. So that zone helped us. And yes, John O'Neill, Michael Bell played great, 7.6 rebounds. And yeah, I'm with you on Rose Wheeler. Yes, he only played 5 minutes. He got 4 fouls. He went in there and did what we needed him to do for a few minutes because of the fact that we had Lawal and Furman both in foul trouble in the first half. So I was very happy with Rose. And again, I think that Ryan Odom's got to think about using him against Asondico and Fleming, because those are two pretty big dudes that we're going to have to deal with on Saturday because, yes, as somebody else pointed out, we are not playing our bitter rival, the top seed Richmond Spiders, because they went down the tubes today against St. Joe's, as predicted by me on A10 Talks bracket contest. Thank you very much indeed. And quite honestly, you know, I was lamenting the defense during the game, during the second half, because we let Rasul Diggins get loose. Rasul Diggins is basically their offense after halftime. He had 20 in the second half out of their 34. And, you know, they're 6 of 15 from 3. He's 4 of 7. So it was all doggone Diggins. And the last couple shots were actually contested. Like, Bell was all over him. He threw that one up, and I'm just like, oh, God. That was the moment when I thought we might blow it and lose. But VCU, one of the biggest keys in this game, among many other things, with all those crazy whistles in the first half, VCU kept their composure and UMass lost it. And so that was absolutely massive for us. That's why they got a 17-point lead. Well, look, we'll see about Dayton. I'll be honest, I can't see them losing to Duquesne, but you never know. We'll see. Again, I got no problem with a third match with Dayton because they won the first game. They should have won the second game, and we're 4-0 against Dayton at the A-10 tournament. So if it's Dayton, if they can get to the final and play Dayton, bring on Dayton. I don't give a rat's rear end about that. We'll be ready for them. But what a team performance, honestly. I mean, and here's the other thing. Second half, they only had 5 turnovers, and one of those was them dribbling out the shot clock at the end of the game. So they only had 4 real turnovers in the second half. So, yeah, they struggled on offense. You know, the only 3 they made was Bama Sills' absolutely huge 3 to sort of steady the ship when UMass had got close. But they got just enough to the foul line and made just enough of them to win. That was the key because, again, they missed a few in the second half. Missed the front end of 2 1-and-1s. But still, 76% from the foul line is below their average, but is acceptable for most teams. And it was just what a great team win. You know, Bairstow goes to the line, makes all 4, has 2 assists, 4 rebounds. Zeb, we talked about, but let's shout him out again. Almost a triple nickel. 17 points, 4 boards, 5 assists. And amazing. Zeb is 3 for 9 from the field, 10 of 11 from the foul line. You can't beat that. You cannot beat that. Bell off the bench, Lawal off the bench. By the way, we have talked about Joe Bamisil and him not playing well away from the Siegel Center. This was his best game away from the Siegel Center by a long way. 18 points. So actually there was 2 DC Rams in double figures. I misread that. Bamisil at the bottom. Is at the very bottom. 18 points, 6 of 9. Here's the key with Joe Bamisil. 21 minutes. 21 minutes, the sweet spot again for Joe Bamisil. He had the lift in his legs. He had the jumpers. And what did he showed you everything in the second half. He has their only three, which was huge. But how about that late drive, which I think was VCU's last basket? Drive, shields the defenders off. Too much size for him. Banks it in beautiful. That's what Joe Bamisil can do. And that's why Joe Bamisil has to remember that I know his three-point shooting is the main deal with him, and he loves to shoot it, and he's confident in shooting it. But Joe Bamisil, you're a three-level scorer. You can score at the rim, you've got the mid-range game, and you've got the three, and you're going to be bigger than your most defenders. So use all the tools in your toolbox. Use all of them. By the way, VCU had an awful start on the backboard. They end up dominating on the backboard, 37-26 plus 11. Bad start on offensive rebounds. They end up 11-11 there, and they win second chance points, 15-13. And it's good to have Joe Bamisil back next year, Chris Conway, absolutely. And you know what, John O'Neill? He had a bad start defensively, but Bamisil did a lot better. You're right about that, if that's who you're talking about when you said he played good defense. Bamisil did a lot better towards the end of the half. Oh, what an effort. Seriously. You know, when you get caned like they did up in Amherst, that could absolutely play on your mind. And they showed a lot more fortitude right out of the gate. And UMass was beating on them early. Physically, they were laying the wood to them. Cohen and Cross were giving them trouble, but at the end of the day, you know, Cohen killed him at the foul line. He's 8 for 9 from the foul line. But Cohen and Cross from the field is 5 of 14. You really can't do much better than that. And without Diggins having an out-of-body experience in the second half, VCU wins this game in a rout. Seriously. You know, that was the one thing. And you know what? It is something to talk about because, again, Eric Reynolds is next. And you've got to understand this. Look at that game against Richmond today. Richmond didn't lose but for one reason. They let Eric Reynolds get loose, and once that fire started, they couldn't put it out. That's how good Eric Reynolds is. So the fact that Diggins went ham on us in the second half is a concern for that game on Saturday against St. Joe's. You have got to 100% stick to Eric Reynolds like glue. Whoever has that assignment, Zeb, Bell, Bamisil, whoever, Bairstow, Shulga, you have got to stay with him. You've got to resist the urge to fade off of him a little bit because you think you might stick your hand in if somebody gets the ball down low in a double team. You've got to get around these screens. You have to. Because go back to that game in the regular season against St. Joe's. VCU did a marvelous job on Eric Reynolds in the first half. Couldn't get space, and he, to his credit, he wasn't just jacking shots up. I think he only had 2 or 3 shot attempts in the first half against VCU. But he gets a transition 3, and then after that, the man was on fire. We couldn't do nothing about it. So the Diggins thing is a problem because if you're not going to stick with him, you're going to have a hard time sticking with Eric Reynolds, who, no disrespect to Rashul Diggins ain't Eric Reynolds. Eric Reynolds, for me, is one of the 5 best players in this league, and I said that on Twitter as he was going off against Richmond and putting him out of his tournament. And I agree with you, Jeffrey Ackerman. I think Wheeler had to get in there. I'm glad Odom put him in there. I wouldn't have mind seeing him for a couple minutes in the second half, but I thought Wheeler did well. I have no thoughts on who's coming back or not, Tom Lawrence, because quite honestly, outside of Bamisil making that announcement, I don't want to engage in that at all. The season is still on. There will be plenty of time for us to debate and wonder and speculate about who's coming back and who's going and the transfer portal and all that. The season is still on, so I am not worried about who's coming back or whatever outside of Joe Bamisil saying he's definitely coming back. You know, if somebody wants to make that statement, that's great, and we'll celebrate them. By the way, more assists and turnovers because VCU was so good on turnovers in the second half. 16 assists, 13 turnovers. That's a winning recipe for VCU. That is a winning recipe for VCU every time. Oh, my goodness. How great has it been to see them get to the foul line? Even though there were so many fouls called, and it's hard to watch games that have this many fouls called. This is, I think they got 67 free throws yesterday. Or 67 free throws in the two games. What am I saying? Yesterday. I think they got 37 yesterday, and now I'm going to look. And I think we get 30 today. So let's see here. So, yeah, well, we got 39 yesterday. So nearly 73 throws for ECU in these two games. And, again, when you're shooting the foul shots as well as they are, granted, they've probably been under their percentage for the two games because, let's see here, they were just under 70% yesterday and they were 76% today. So that's not even as good as they've been shooting because that's how good they've been shooting. But when you're as good a foul shooting team as this is, that's just monstrous. Yeah, Jeffrey Ackerman, Bell was composed today. Made a lot of good decisions out there. There might have been once or twice when he maybe should have shot instead of faked, but he made a lot of good plays out there today. I'm impressed with Michael Bell. And again, defensively, he's a weapon. He is a big, big weapon for VCU on the defensive end, and that is something that VCU needs to deploy. Yeah, John O'Neill, I can't with these refs calling some of these fouls like they are. I mean, great that it helped. That ultimately it probably helped VCU the most, and they won. VCU got 11 more foul shots and 9 more points than UMass did at the foul line. But I don't want to watch whistle madness. This is not whistle. This is not the month of the whistle. This is the month of March. We do not need this many foul calls yesterday or today or Saturday. Honestly, we want to see the best players out there unless they really do foul and knock the crap out of somebody and shouldn't. And some of these fouls against both Lawal and Furman, you know, come on. Honestly, they're jumping into Lawal and Furman and you're calling Lawal and Furman for a foul. What is that? Haven't we had enough of that this year? You know, Diggins, now partly this is Shulga's fault because he didn't get around the speed, but it looked like Diggins kicked his feet out. The NCAA made it a point of emphasis that you're not supposed to call a foul if somebody kicks their feet out on three trying to draw contact, and they've gone right off of that because there's been two of those against VCU in this tournament, and there was another one of those last week against Dayton, and I'm kind of had it up to here with that. You know, the NCAA needs to talk to some of these refs and say, hey, look, kicking your feet out is not a foul on the defender, and if anything, it should be an offensive foul, quite honestly. And I got to say this too. You know, a couple different people made the point that it wasn't a play on the ball, and so it was a right to call the flagrant. It was dangerous, yes, because Zeb was in the air going for a dunk, but it's nowhere near excessive force, and if that was called on VCU, I'd be pretty mad. Yes, it wasn't a play on the ball. And yes, you could call it dangerous because Zeb was in the air. I didn't love that call too much myself. I did not love that call too much myself. And I just don't want to see stuff like that. But whatever. VCU is in the semifinal against St. Joseph's on Saturday. Holy mackerel. I cannot wait. What is the time on that? I know it's CBS Sports Network. I'm almost certain it is. Yeah, 1 p.m. CBS Sports Network. I will certainly be here with you, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and ready to rock and roll after another big win. This St. Joe's game is going to be interesting because I tell you, Reynolds is really cooking. Lynn Greer, he played well in that game. Let me go. I got the box score still up. Reynolds, 30. Oh, wow, Lynn Greer. Okay, Lynn Greer played well in the foul line. He was 5-6. He didn't make a basket. You know, Xavier Brown struggled from the field, but he had some key plays down the stretch. Here's the big one, though. Rashier Fleming, 12 rebounds. But the interesting thing is, of course, they're going to be helped by the rest, too. They only played 7 guys, St. Joe's. Only played 7 guys. So, again, VCU's depth could certainly help them. Even with the day off, you can wear this team down. You know, Cam Brown, 39 minutes. Eric Reynolds, 38. Xavier Brown, 38. Got to run different guys at them. Got to try to wear them down. make them defend. You know, one of Richmond's problems is that quite unusually, there were several possessions Richmond just gave away on offense with quick shots. Make St. Joe's defend, because they haven't been a very good defensive team all year. But the biggest thing is Reynolds. You can't let that fire start. 11 of 19, 3 for 8 from 3, 5 for 5, 30 points today. That he was absolutely marvelous for them. And that's why they won. That is why they beat Richmond. But VCU beat him the first time, and without him and St. Joe's going ham from outside the arc in the second half, they would have won going away. So VCU did a lot of good things in that game. They gotta keep a close eye on Eric Reynolds at all times. And like you said, Carlos Diaz, rotate on him. Absolutely right. Use a bunch of different guys on him. One thing that'll be interesting too, it'll be interesting to see how Billy Lang uses Fleming and Asondico. Asondico was giving us problems early in that game down low. And I'm gonna be and if it was me, I would start the game with Asondico, and I would go to him early. So we'll see what St. Joe's does, but I'm certainly looking forward to it. Two wins from the tournament. This can be done. Yes, this can be done. VCU in great shape, can do some really big things here. I'm so pleased. It's always great when a team knocks the snot out of you in regular season to get your own back. It really – you just can't – you can't beat that. You cannot beat beating a team that walked all over you and walked the dog on you the first time. It feels great. And you know what? Yes, Carlos Diaz, but you know what? The Rams fans that were there today, they were loud. They were very, very loud. I was very happy with our fans today. So, yeah, it'd be great to have more. Be great to have more. And while I'm doing this, I am watching Wake Forest Pitt in the ACC quarterfinals. And our old mucker, Jeff Capel, they're up 5 with 2:12 left, which is good because you can wave goodbye to Wake Forest in the at-large pool if they lose. So just watching that as we're finishing this up here. So Saturday, 1 p.m., definitely live here in the Good and the Bad and the Ugly group. Definitely going to be out in podcast land not long afterwards. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for the comments and the great game thread. Again, be part of the Good and the Bad and the Ugly group. We got VCU game threads. We got game threads for the games that are not VCU in the tournament. All sorts of other features as well. You want to be part of this group and be a part of that, to be part of these live videos as well. So because I get these wonderful comments from everybody that helps enhance the podcast. I appreciate you guys so much. So Saturday, I'll see you Saturday afternoon, probably late Saturday afternoon, early evening in podcast land for hopefully another VCU win and another trip to another Atlantic 10 final in Brooklyn. VCU loves Brooklyn, owns Brooklyn. That's the way it is, and that's the way it'll be. I'll talk to you guys next time. Thank you very much.
To submit a question for George to answer in an upcoming episode or to inquire about sponsorship opportunities for this podcast, please email ramsrewind@gmail.com. We'll be back after the next game, and thanks for listening to this episode of Rams Rewind.